Stay tuned for another episode of Breaking Mad.
I need to talk to you.
Louise, hold all my calls.
Don, I really need to talk to you.
If it's about that promotion you keep pestering me about, you can forget it.
No, Don, it isn't about the promotion, which I feel I deserve. It's about my wife. I think she knows.
Knows what?
You know, about the thing.
The thing?
The thing, Don. The thing.
Pete, you're going to have to be more illustrative than that.
The crystal meth.
Oh, that thing.
Yes, that thing.
Pete, I thought I told you that subject isn't allowed to be discussed in the firm unless...
Unless we were afraid somebody found out.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Well, someone found out.
Who? Who, Pete? Pete... You play dumb on this, and you can bet I'll tell Roger Sterling this was all your idea from the get-go.
Peggy.
Peggy?
Peggy. She knows.
How? Where? When?
The bachelorette party for Joan. Joan spilled the beans.
But Joan, she's a meth head, and Peggy, she's just into pot.
Close enough, Don.
Yes.
Mr. Draper and Mr. Hilton
the
on the line.
Mr. Hilton?
Why take a chance?
Shut up, Pete. Put him through, Louise.
Yes, Mr. Draper.
Donald Draper.
Connie. Connie Hilton.
Long time no talk.
Long time. No
Look,
talk.
Don, I'll cut to the chase. You're like a son to me. More than that, really, you're like a daughter to me.
I appreciate that. And I mean that. Louise, you want a drink?
Listen, Don, I know all about you and Pete Campbell and the VWRV in New Mexico, your whole crystal meth lab scheme in case Cooper Sterling goes under next season because you're getting too soap opera-esque.
You do?
What a shit and shinola you, Don. You're like an adopted pet to me, Don.
I appreciate that.
So, Don, cut me in on the action. As long as you and Campbell are on the QT, I can give you both 40% of all the Hilton draws for 1964. That means all you have to do is read the Bible and keep cooking meth until the cows come home.
Well, I'd have to talk to my...
Don.
Don, you don't have a wife worth respecting.
Look, Peter, I'm...
You're
Pete,
impotent.
I'm what?
You're impotent.
Impotent? Is that what you're implying? Because if
boys,
you are...
Boys, Pete, listen to me. You're like a second cousin idiot nephew to me.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, kiss enough ass and your mustache will match your pipe tobacco. Listen, Don, give me the moon this time. I'm counting on it.
Good. Goodbye.
Don, about that raise.
Peggy's here to see you, Mr. Draper.
Send her in.
Hello, Don. Pete.
Hello, Peggy.
I want in on everything, or I'll blow your whole New Mexico meth
Peggy,
story.
Would you like a drink?
No, but you got any pot? Don, I could tell her about Dick. Don't get her in on our Breaking Bad.
Pete, what would you say if Peggy and I were having an affair?
Well, I'd say jolly well then. I'm telling, that's what.
Peggy, tell him.
Pete, I'm carrying Roger Sterling's child. Well then, I'd say it was time for some period music then.
Oh, man, split the breezes, you mule hip cayuses! Well, hey there, doggy dreamers. It's that time of the week again, kids. It's that time of the month, ladies. It's that time when all us mountain men, women, and children round up the cattle, get back home and get ourselves some victuals and lovin'. Woo-wee! Yes, sirree. It's time for Peter Gunn's Trail Mix.
so fine, I want your money, so delicious.
This is Richard Attenborough, and I'm sitting amongst one of the most fascinating farmlands in Western Virginia of the United States. What is so remarkable about these particular creatures here in this obscure farmland, in this West Virginia landscape, as the sun sets, is the divide between these chickens and frogs on one end of the farm, and a gap about 4 feet wide, and just over the gap, another section of large bullfrogs and hens and roosters. Now, what makes this so fascinating is not so much that they're separated, but that they are indeed different chickens and different frogs. If we take our microphones and slow down the chickens and the frogs, you will hear what I mean. It's almost as if we have a red state and a blue state. Chicken, frog on this side.
Black, 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 black.
Obama, 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 the Obama, Obama, Obama.
And another type of chicken and frog on the other side.
Black,
Obama, 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 Obama,
Mitt, Mitt,
Obama,
Mitt, Mitt, Mitt. Mit, 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 mit,
Democrats
mit, mit, mit,
and Republicans.
Mit, 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 mit.
Some are Democrat frogs. Mit, some are Democrat chickens that stick together, while the other side are Republican frogs and chickens.
Obama, Obama.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Most fascinating. This is Richard Attenborough for National Geographic and the BBC Red and Blue World. Now back to trainage.
Obama, Obama. Obama.
Mit, 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 mit,
mit, mit, mit.
Black, 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 black.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
morning, boys and girls. It's time once again for Gumbies for the Visually Impaired. Today we're going to watch a cartoon called How Not to Trap a Lion. And it stars Gumby, of course, and a lion. And this is for people who either just can't stand the surreal images of Gumby claymation or who are visually impaired. So let's get started, shall we? How Not to Trap Lions. There's a lion in a cage. He looks sad. Gumby and Pokey are staring.
Why is Richard so blue, Gumby?
He's lonely for a playmate.
Ah, there you go. Sort of helping.
Can't we get another lion?
That's not so easy. I never trapped a lion before. Have you?
See, sometimes they... We had another...
Maybe we can find a book about it on the bookshelves.
We had another show where Gumby and Pokey trapped a lion. Oh my gosh. They're going inside of a book. They went right through the book. There's a gazelle. Gumby has a safari hat on, and they're driving that same truck with the cage in the back, just like that other cartoon we had. See, sometimes they reuse footage so they can tell the same story twice. It's kind of an oddity with Gumby and Pokey. There's an ostrich who just stuck his head in the sand. They actually really don't do that, but in Gumbasia, I guess they do. Now he's crossing a very rickety bridge. It's a very poorly painted background of some mountains. Gumby's out of the truck. They're stuck right in the middle of that... Right in the middle of that bridge, and he's working on the truck, the engine. Uh-oh. Pokey thinks that Gumby fell off the bridge, which is very steep. He's just in the engine with lots of oil on his face. He's wiping it off with a polka dot handkerchief. Looks a little...
Okay, now try it, Pokey.
I think he got the engine fixed. Way to go, Gumby. He's back in the car with a big smile on his face, puts a safari hat back on, and they're on their way to trap a lion. Going up a steep hill. I think they just tilted the camera for that. Oh my gosh, this is like Batman. They're going straight up. It's like going up a skyscraper. No, it's... They're almost going upside down. It's kind of spooky. Now they are upside down. His hat fell off. And they're going all over Africa. Into the jungle. Oh, there's a water that looks like it's from a urinal or something. It's all yellow. And driving right through the water. Oh, his hat fell back down on Pokey's head. So everything...
This looks like a good place to trap a lion, Pokey.
Sure.
I agree.
I agree, too. Why's he got a shovel? Oh, yeah, he's going to dig that pit again. See, they can reuse footage this way. So he's digging very fast, speeding up the camera so you don't get too bored.
Pokey, toss me a rope. I can't get out.
He's stuck in that big, long, big, deep hole he just built. Pokey's going to get a rope from the car, from the Jeep. You can hear him walking. He's tossing down the rope. He's pulled out.
Now we need some long sticks, Pokey.
Coming right up.
He's a very smart clay man, that Gumby. The way he makes a trap is pretty effective. Pokey's just the...
Whew! That ought to catch a lion.
We're supposed to hide now.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
There's a good place.
Just smart for a horse. I was a kid, I had a little Gumby and a Pokey.
Look, Gumby.
Oh, a zebra's coming. Uh-oh, they don't want to catch a zebra. He's about to walk right over. He's walking around.
Somebody painted stripes on that horse.
Pokey.
It's a zebra.
That's a zebra.
Yeah. Uh-oh, here comes an elephant.
Gumby, our Jeep.
The elephant's tossing the Jeep on its side with his trunk.
Gumby,
No, that he put the jeep back. Oh, they got so scared they both fell in the trap themselves.
This is a funny way to trap lions.
Yep, the lion is looking up at the top. Time for a commercial break. Now they're starting to fade them out.
Here comes more fun with Gumby and Pal.
Oh, that was the end. That was the end. Well, what did we learn this time? Yeah, that was it. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, well, well. Okay. Yeah, we'll do this strange one next time, I guess, yeah. Well, what did we learn that time? We learned that Art Clokey can really surprise us when you think you're going to have a commercial break. It's actually the end of the whole show. We learned that if you build a trap, don't fall into it yourself, or the lion will actually be sitting at the top of the trap and look down and laugh at you. And that was Art Clokey's idea of a good ending. I mean, it's at least it looked like a cliffhanger where you would possibly, you know, be led into watching the next show. Like, what happens? Do they get out of the trap? Does the lion eat them up? Or does the lion get trapped? Or, you know, what? But nope, that was the end, because it went on to a different show called Magic Toyland or something. So we learned some confusing things on this one, folks. Hopefully the next show will be a little bit more coherent. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed Gumby for the visually impaired. Now back to more Pinecone Radio music.
The bear kind of funny, especially when it's time to eat.
There's a bear.
What the hell is this about?
I hate to break this to you, Gary, but some people out there want you dead.
Dead?
They're called terrorists, Gary, and they hate everything about you.
Why? What did I do to them? I'm just a Broadway actor.
It's not who you are, Gary. It's what you stand for. And every single minute of every single day, the terrorists are planning new ways to kill you and everyone else who lives in a free country. The only thing standing in their way is us.
You.
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Elka pudding just great.
Thank you.
Betts. Betty, I told you not to call me at the office anymore. You irritate me. Besides, we're divorced. We have been for quite some affairs now.
Yes, but it's Sally. It's Sally, Don.
What about Sally? What is it this time? She's always causing you trouble. In your mind, she's a good little girl.
She's menstruating.
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 That's your department, honey.
I know, but she's... Oh, never mind.
Okay. Goodbye.
In the first recording, remember, the father waited for his little son's question. In this scene, the mother herself leads into the subject of menstruation with her daughter, who might be 10 or 11, perhaps older. The obvious reason is to make sure that a girl knows both the natural and the spiritual significance of this function before it happens. Parents are the best judges of the proper time and place for such instruction, but a good rule to follow here is better a year too early than 1 week too late. Notice how the mother starts with changes her daughter can see, the outer growth of her body, and then the inner maturing that comes with adolescence. There's an obvious bond of confidence between mother and child, which is essential in all sex instruction. Notice, too, how both the naturalness and holiness of the menstrual function are explained by the mother. There's an emotional overtone here, too, which contrasts with the more matter-of-fact presentation to boys. Here again, for convenience, the subject matter of perhaps two or more talks has been compressed into a single scene.
Oh, let's see now. Fold in the whites.
Hi, Mother.
Oh, hi, dear.
What you making, Kate?
Yum. Oh, Betty O'Brien, get your fingers out of my icing this minute. And how many times have I told you to hang up your coat and put your books in your room when you come in?
What's it worth to you, Mums? Licks on the bowl?
Oh, Betty, you're impossible. When are you going to start growing up?
When am I going to finish, you mean? Behold the evidence of old age descending on your darling daughter, Mrs. O'Brien.
Oh, dear.
Watch this coat sleeve. Watch it closely now.
Mm-hmm.
An inch, 2 inches. It's crept halfway to the elbow before your very eyes.
Oh, Betty. Your father just bought you that coat a year ago, and it was too big then. Let's see, I don't suppose we can let that sleeve down anymore.
No, Mother, you're just not going to buy me another new one. I just won't have it. Unless, of course, you twist my arm enough.
Oh, it's twisting your neck I should be doing. Oh, but you are growing up, Betty. I can see that.
Well, scales don't lie, except when Daddy gets on them. Oh, I hope I have a figure like Phyllis Graham's.
Oh, Betty, be serious for once.
But I am serious. Uh-oh. I can feel a motherly talk coming on. I know that look in your eye.
I declare to goodness, sometimes I don't know whether to hug you or paddle you. You know so much, and yet...
Yet what, Mom?
Oh, I was about to say, and yet you know so little.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'll be good, really. What were you going to tell me?
Oh, nothing much, honey. It's just that, well, with all these changes you can see, getting taller and your breasts beginning to grow and so on, there are other changes going on inside of you.
Inside of me? What kind of changes, Mother?
Well, do you remember my telling you when you were little how babies grow inside their mothers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from now on, through your teens, the wonderful machinery inside your body that will hold and nourish a baby when you're grown up, if God calls you to the married state, that machinery will begin to develop.
Really, Mom? Well, tell me about it.
Well, to begin with, every woman has two small organs within her body called ovaries. Now, each month, one of them produces a tiny egg, or ovum, as the doctors call it.
Is that the egg the baby grows from? The one you told me about when I was little?
That's right, dear. You see, God knew that when he did will to create a new little soul inside the mother, the tiny body would have to be nourished so it would develop from a little egg to a full-grown baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so wonderfully has God designed our bodies that each month, as one of the ovaries produces an egg, blood is accumulated in the lining of the uterus, a womb.
That's where you carry your baby, isn't it?
Yes, dear. Now, when a woman is married, the seed from the father, which I told you about, is planted inside the mother's egg. And this egg fastens itself to the wall of the uterus. That is what the blood is for, to nourish the tiny body until it is ready to be born.
Oh. That's wonderful, isn't it, Mother? And does that happen every month, even before a girl is married?
That's right, honey. It's part of the whole complicated process that the doctors call ovulation and menstruation.
But does the blood come anyway, even when there's no baby to need it?
That's right, dear. But it doesn't stay there in the uterus when there's no baby. You see, when the egg is not fertilized, it dissolves and the blood simply flows out again through the vagina. Then the whole process starts all over again the following month.
You mean you sort of bleed?
Well, not exactly, dear. You see, the blood is simply stored up for a particular purpose, and when it's not needed, it just passes off. It's a perfectly natural bodily function, and a holy one, really, when you consider that it's part of God's wonderful plan for creating new little souls in his own image.
Oh.
You see, darling, that's why I'm telling you now about those changes that are beginning to take place in your own body. Someday, maybe soon, or it may not be for a year or so, you'll have your first period, as it's called. Normally it lasts 3 to 5 days, but at first it may be only a trace and may not come regularly every month.
But, Mother, when it happens, what'll I do?
Well, when it does, dear, just come and tell me, and I'll show you how to take care of yourself and your clothes. The thing to remember always is that this is a natural thing, a holy thing. It means that God is preparing your body for the wonderful calling of motherhood, if that is his plan for you.
I understand, Mother. And thanks for being so sweet.
All right, now, darling. Get those books picked up before your father gets home, or he's likely to forget you're growing up and use the slipper on you.
Oh, I'm on my way, Mom. But first, how about licking the bowl?
Betty O'Brien, I wonder if you'll ever really grow up.
How you doing, Pinecone Pete?
I'm doing okay, Trailer Hitch Andy. How's
milking
it going?
Milking the cows.
Yeah, milking the cows. So, what I do all the time.
I was having this discussion with Andy. Andy Jr. Yeah.
What about?
He's back. He's back from juvie.
Well, that's good.
I got to keep one of them monitors on his ankles.
Oh, yeah, you
so
got to do
get
that.
Get away from us this time.
You got to keep them.
And one of those talks about, the natural things that happen to a boy's body when he gets to be about...
Well, about his age?
14, I think he is now, right?
Yeah, so I was wondering if you had any ideas.
How I could broach the subject. I could tell Andy about the wonders of what's going on inside his little groiny-moiny.
Well, I'm a bachelor, Andy. I wouldn't know.
Help him. Help him out.
Well,
help him learn about girls. And,
I tell you, I got him
what happens in... middle of the night when you...
Well, you know.
Yeah, when he gets a groin thing happens.
Yeah.
Big, you know.
That. You got any pointers? You got any ideas?
I got some. It's hard for me. I grew up in Ohio. And,
well, you know.
Of course. I grew up in Wisconsin.
Well, I tell you, I got a record collection.
Yeah.
I can lend you. And they tell you all about how to tell a boy.
Well, thank you, Pinecone.
Here. Take these.
I'll listen to them.
They're from the 1950s. It's lots of good info for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pinecone Pete. You always have an answer on Trail Mix.
No problem. Just give them back when you're done.
Yeah.
Hey, can I have some milk?
Of course you can.
Wet dreams, as we call them, are very different. You see, the body manufactures that fluid all the time. And when the supply becomes too great, as it does sometimes before men are married, nature opens a sort of a safety valve in your sleep, and it passes off.
Gee, our bodies are complicated, aren't they, Dad?
Oh, you bet. More complicated than the biggest dynamo ever built. Only God could make our bodies.
Oh, but Dad, why do fellas get these feelings before they get married?
Now, that's a good question, Bob.
He's my wet dream daddy. Taught me everything I know, from the nocturnal emissions to the tickly wickly toe. He's my wet dream pappy. Said everything is okay, from that first dream girl emission, just so long as I'm not gay. I had a wet dream when I was just a lad. I think I was about 13, and I knew that I was bad. So thank you, wet dream daddy. I know everything is good, just so long as that emission's only mission is to make a baby like it should. Wet dream, it make me scream. And it's okay to dream it. Just make sure when you awake, you never ever consciously cream it. Well, I had a wet dream when I was just a lad. I think I was 13, and I knew that I was bad. I knew that I was bad. I knew that I was bad. So don't spank it, or you just might get a spanking. But if you're sleeping, you're keeping that wet stuff from being bad. I knew I was bad. Bad. I knew I was bad. So good. Someday it's gonna make a baby just like it should. It'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be good. 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 Ah. Ah. Yeah.
Of Tennessee. First set in with the band at the ripe old age of 3 weeks old. And when he blew into that horn, all the people gathered around. Club manager jumped right up. They said, boy, I gotta have that sound. Scream hallelujah, Lord. I said, the sax man's got my soul. Everybody gotta move their feet when the sax man started to blow. Now blow it, sax man. Okay, he's a little shy, but his genius cannot hide. Cause when the sax man starts to wail, he's gonna take you on a ride. Take it, sax man. Ow! Take it, sax man. He'll be right with you, folks. Alright, sax man, that's my fault. I put you on the spot. But now you're all warmed up for this. The next one's gonna be hot. Kick it, sax man. Come on. What the fuck are you doing? Okay. Why don't we have a little inspiration now? You know this game, sax man. Repeat after me. Here we go. And shibbity bop bop boo da bop bop. Fucking play something, sax man! Okay, moving on!
Sax man! sweet and kind. Oh, Dodo, perfect jam. Oh, she got it. Did-do-do, she's got them. My pet told me to leave. I'm set, absolutely. So I pet with nobody but my pet.
Inside the Money Bubble with me, your host, B. Buck Bunny Mumble. And by satellite, well, we're going to go to our daily interview feature and open up the lifestyle portfolio of people who double as bubble insiders.
Hello there.
And Bill Sprawl, CEO of Worldwide Syncholistic Systems, graduate of Yale Law with an MBA from Oxford SHU. Bill made his starter fortune by relocating low-interest families from their high-rising properties to online irrigation glitches along the old information highway. And very entrepreneurial of you, Bill. Bill? Can you hear me, Bill?
Not over the music there.
Oh, well, somebody fade the music out. Thank
That's
you.
That's better. Welcome to my Sprawl Smart House.
That is some edifice I see there, Bill.
Yes, that's what my starter wife said.
You know, your digital domain in Billville must make you the envy of all your neighbors.
Well, funny about that, Buck.
What's funny about it?
Well, you just double-click this, and there goes the neighborhood.
It's the land of the Pharaoh.
Oh, that's close, but it's Vegas.
And is the pyramid opening?
Not till Thursday.
Good.
Click, click. We're back in Billville.
Well, that's just amazing.
Well, what is amazing is that in a Sprawl smart house, your level of conspicuous consumption is directly connected to your bank balance.
I know everybody cares
about
that. The
house knows it and shows it. Look, I must be making a killing because my artwork is improving as we speak.
Oh, look at that.
My new descending a staircase is upgrading into
it's a Picasso. No, it's a Kandinsky. Is that a Hockney?
No,
that?
It's a crying Elvis on black velvet.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. My Louis XIV is going Motel 6, 5, 4, 3.
What's happening out there, Bill?
I'm losing my assets.
Well, look, if you're not rich anymore, then you don't belong on this program. You got any famous last words for our listeners?
Doggy Dreamers, it's another program ended here at Trail Mix at Pinecone Radio, 100.9 FM, your favorite and only radio station right here in Pine Mountain Club, California. Stereophonic. Let's go through the playlist now. We're listening to the Spanish version right now of Your Girlfriend by What's-Her-Face. Let's get the list here. Avril Lavigne. I know I'm mispronouncing her name. That's the Spanish version of Girlfriend. Before that, we heard the Firesound Theater with Inside the Money Bubble. It's from their wonderful recent album about 10 years ago, Boom Dot Bust. Yes, indeed. And before that, we heard a nice old recording from Bix Bidubecki and Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. It was My Pet, a very romantic song for all you lovebirds out there. Keeping your nocturnal emissions to your one and only. Before that, we heard Jack Black and the Sax Man with Incredibad. And before that, we heard Wet Dream by Peter Gullery.
Before that was a segment from Team America. Remember that movie? Love that movie. And before that, we heard Bears by the 70s group Quicksilver. Before that, we heard Straight Down the Line by Robbie Robertson from his most recent album, something with the word clairvoyant in it. I forget the name of the album. And before that, we heard the English version of Girlfriend. That's your playlist today, right here in Pinecone Radio. Stay tuned for Rural War Room with your friends Donovan Suit and Byron Werner, all the way from Little Rock, Arkansas. Yes, indeed. About 4 hours worth from way back in the land of small rocks. Well, split the breezes, cowpokes, and keep those doggies happy with lots of good grass and happy pastures to you. We'll see you next week on Trail Mix.
Roger Sterling's child.